Okay, well, if you don't know me, my name is Mick, and I'm the vicar here, and I'd love to share with you now a thought for Christmas. Our theme this year, that's hope this Christmas. People come to church at Christmas for all kinds of reasons, but we are seeing far more people coming to church for the first time and far more people coming back to church who'd left church for all kinds of reasons and then have come back. I don't know, how many people were here last Sunday evening at Crooks Carols? Anybody? Yeah, quite a few. That was the alternative carol service. This is the more traditional one. So over the last two Sundays, two services, last Sunday and two today, then Nativity this morning, the kids' Nativity, around 2,000 have been in two Sundays. Now, that's more than we normally see, so there is a coming back to something. There's a coming back. People are being drawn back to church, and particularly after this challenging year that we've had in our nation, I think people are looking for something, and that's why our theme this year is hope this Christmas. And the image I'm going to show now is, this is another iconic symbol. I'm going to speak just a little time, a little thought for Christmas this evening. It's the manger with the baby in the manger. But as we light our candles, the singers are going to be singing this, a wonderful hymn, and I know they've done it in particular because of me. This is my 19th Christmas here, and it's a very special one. And this is one of my favourite all-time carols. It's rarely sung, but a beautiful carol. And it's called Thou Who Wast Rich Beyond All Splendour. And this carol was written in the 1930s by a man called Frank Houghton, Bishop Frank Houghton. And he was part of the Inland China Mission. And he tells the story, he was traveling over the mountains of China. It was a very challenging time. Many Christians and his colleagues were being killed and persecuted for their faith. And he felt quite down. And God gave him this this carol. And it was based on this verse from the Bible, which will appear on the screen now. This comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. If you're not used to the Bible, or maybe you've never been in church before, basically this is God speaking. We believe, Christians, that God speaks through his Bible. And this is what this scripture says. For you know the grace, which means love, freely given. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And there's another version of it from another version of the Bible coming up now, and this is the one I'm going to leave on the screen. It says this: You are familiar with the generosity of our Master Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich. So here's a question. Do you want to be rich? Yes? Thank you, sir, for that honesty there and just nodding your head. Do you want to be rich? Well, lots of people do. And I was looking up here that the National Lottery is 25 years old this year. And it's now seen that 70% of the UK's over 18s, which is most of you here, there's some children in tonight, 70% of over 18s take part in the National Lottery on a regular basis. That is 45 million people on a regular basis get a lottery ticket. Now, here's a fascinating fact. That is the population of the Ukraine. There you go. You didn't know that, did you? Well, you do now. Take part in the lottery. And the lottery symbolizes this, that people overnight go from rags to riches. Then we've seen all the photos pop in the champagne or Prosecco. It's bound to be champagne if you've won the lottery, isn't it, really? It might be Aldi Prosecco, who knows? But they go from rags to riches. However, you don't find many people who deliberately choose to go the other way from riches to rags. from extravagantly rich to incredibly poor. That is not a popular choice. That would not have gone down well on the manifestos in the recent election. Was there an election? Yes, there was, last Thursday. That would not have been very popular at all. And yet, right at the heart of the Christmas story that you will see with your children if you've got them, and you will hear in churches and on TV, there will be a bit of God on TV because it's Christmas. Well, at least the BBC will put it on anyway. Leave the license fee alone. What will become of our nation if the BBC goes? Don't get me on about Sky. So, the heart of the Christmas story is about the one who chose to do exactly that, to deliberately go from riches to rags, from extravagant wealth to absolute poverty. Just remind you what it says here. You are familiar with the generosity of our Master Jesus Christ, rich as he was, and the word in the Bible means extravagantly wealthy, overflowing with wealth. That's what the word means. So rich as he was, he gave it all away for us in one stroke, and he became poor. And the word poor is something quite particular. It actually means deeply destitute. It means cowering over like a beggar. That's what this verse means. And we became rich. And you know, we are constantly bombarded from all quarters to think about money and wealth and riches. I've met loads of people who seem to constantly compare income and salaries. I don't know if you do that, or you've got people in your office or people you know. How much does he earn? How much does she earn? What does that footballer earn? You know, you get the phone out and put in the wealth of whoever. It's like we just need to know and compare, and in a more regular way, how much you people that you work with earn. It's a kind of measuring stick we seem to have. And we even become slightly envious of what others have. And the Bible has a lot to say about that, but actually it's extremely challenging, the message of the Bible, because it's the exact opposite of today's culture. And this simple yet very profound Bible verse tells us that the whole point of the coming of Jesus as a baby is that you and I might become rich. Now, what does that mean? Well, that we would overflow with the resources and the treasure of heaven. That all the good things that there are, love and peace and joy and contentment and health and generosity and kindness, all those things which in some ways money cannot buy, they're in a storehouse in heaven and they are ours because the one who was rich became poor for our sakes. The Christian faith shows that Jesus is the example we are to follow, because he not only left all the riches of heaven to become poor, but he chose to be born into poverty in a manger in a stable. As I heard, Trish and I took an evening off a few nights ago. We went to another church in Sheffield. We went to Christ Church Forward to their carol service. Amazing. You've missed them now because the last ones are tonight. It was fantastic. Great message from my good friend Paul Williams, the vicar. And I loved his phrase, which was talking about Jesus. God in a baby in a manger. It's an amazing phrase. I loved it. I wish I'd thought of it first. God in a baby in a manger. Jesus was born into poverty, and then he died in agony on a cross 33 years later in the most extreme poverty that you can imagine. So the life of Jesus came from heaven and the riches of heaven, and came to live in poverty in this world. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. All for you and I. And this is all summed up in these three great foundations of the Christian faith. It's faith itself, it's love, and it's hope. Faith, a deep belief and trust in Jesus and his promises. Love, that wonderful word, a sacrificial giving that never fades and grows every day. The more you use it, the more you love, the more love gets stronger in your life. If you're married, practice on your partner. That's a great way. If you've got children, practice on them. Teach your children how to love. It's the best thing you can ever give them. Far better than any present you can buy in the shops. Faith, love, and then this great one, hope, our theme for this Christmas. A sure confidence that my future is secure with Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. And you know, the verses following this verse here, I'm not going to read them out, but encourage the church, which is Christians who gather, it encourages the church to practically follow this Jesus principle, that those who have should give generously to support those who haven't. And the people in this Bible story, where it was written to people 2,000 years ago, a place called Macedonia, the people in the Bible story followed the example of Jesus. These people were really poor. In fact, the Bible says they were so poor, these people. And yet they gave out of their poverty because of the love they had for Jesus and how he changed their lives. They gave out of their poverty generously to others who had less. They were poor, the Bible says, but extremely happy in their poverty. Their giving released an incredible movement in the Middle East when this was written, in the whole region, of generosity. It was recorded. The generosity of people was immense. And I've been reading this week amazing stories of such generosity today. I'll just tell you this. A successful Christian businessman I was reading about, earning so much money, who lives on less than 10% of his income and gives 90% of his money and his resources away to those in need. Now, as soon as you hear that, you think, idiot. The way of the world says, well, that's daft. I've earned it. It's mine. And his response was, no, God gave it me. It's his. He lives on 10%. A church where its people are giving their time and their talents and their gifts to serve the local community and also the poor in their city. Another church where many of its people on ordinary incomes, some less than the national average, I'm not telling you the name of the church, are giving 10, 20, and up to 50% of their income, yes, to God's work. And they are seeing God pour amazing blessings upon them and upon the work they're doing. They are seeing such amazing things in their city. I was once told when I was working out, Trish and I, how much what we do with our giving and how we can be generous, a very wise man said to me, it's like you shovel what God gives you into and scatter it around. Just give your money and your time and scatter it around. And inside would be a little voice saying, what if you run out? And he said, God's shovel is bigger than yours. As you empty your bucket, his bucket is way bigger than yours. But how can he fill your bucket if you won't empty your bucket? I love those stories there. Now, this is not a usual sermon for a carol service. You'd expect me to talk about baby Jesus, meek and mild, or the shepherds, these scallywags who came to see the baby, or the wise men, the kings from the east, or the angel, or all the carol service themes, the regular ones. But not tonight, dear friends, because this is the message for Christmas. At the heart of Christmas is extravagant generosity. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. And, you know, I think, I believe with all my heart, if you want, you hear a lot of phrases at the moment about bringing our country together, bringing our nation back together after this challenging year. And no matter what political persuasion you are, whether you are left or right or red or blue, or you remain or you are leave, or you are extremely happy tonight because your team won, or you're extremely sad and annoyed because your team didn't, no matter where you are in your political stance, I firmly believe that now is the time we need to pray. And we need to pray for this, a spirit of generosity and kindness in our nation. Because it won't be a political idealism that brings us together. It will be a godly, spiritual move of generosity and kindness that will bring us together. But I don't think number 10 will be calling me anytime in the next few days. Might not fit with them. And you know, we see this principle of generosity at work in this church. Yeah, I love this church. Trish and I have been here 19 years. We love this church. We love the generosity of this church. How this church gives its time, its talent, its money. And over this Christmas season, we're asking people to be generous in giving money to our work with teenagers. You'll see smiling people on the way out with red buckets. And if you haven't got any cash, there's a giving station there. We will take all major credit cards and debit cards. And seriously, what we're saying is, can we give generously for the work with teenagers in our city? And the money will enable us to employ more team, to work in our secondary schools in particular, to show our teenagers that there is a better life to be found in Jesus Christ. Maybe you know, maybe you've got teenagers, maybe you know teenagers. And maybe deep down inside, you want them to find a better way. Maybe you work in a school, maybe you teach, and you know how tough it is. Now, we know that when we and our teams and our partners who go in with music and workers, when they go into schools, the whole culture of the school changes. Why? Because God's people go into that place. People who believe in Christ, the one who gave up everything for these young people. And so we want more and more of our folks to go into schools saying there is a better way to live your life. Because Jesus is the greatest gift anyone can receive this Christmas. Those needing justice and hope, give them a gift and a prayer. Maybe our generosity tonight might change the life of a teenager in Sheffield. Our young people are growing up not knowing this new way of life is found in Jesus Christ. So please give generously. Because for us to come to a carol service and sing these familiar, nostalgic carols and do nothing about those who will never sing a carol, God challenges us. Trish and I went to the City Hall last night. Again, we're out all the time at the moment to hear the Black Dyke Mills and the Sheffield Chorale. It was absolutely amazing. What wasn't amazing was wandering around the city centre on a Saturday night. My heart broke for the lost. Please, give generously. And if you've got tiny ones, one day they'll be big. And we need to pray. We have got the good news of Jesus in every high school in Sheffield. For them to make a choice one way or the other. And with that in mind, here are three invitations. I bring this to an end now. First of all, next year, look on our website. We're launching again our excellent families course called Raising Children. Scores and scores of people and families have been through this. Amazing tools to raise your children. It's tough raising kids. But this course gives us hope to raise our children well. Check out our website, it's coming. Secondly, an invitation to something called the Alpha Course. 24 million people around the world have been on this. And it's an introduction to the Christian faith. Maybe you used to go to church and you've started to come back. Maybe you are in church and you've forgotten what the good news is, because sometimes it becomes so familiar you forget. Or maybe you've just started to explore this. Come along, starts in February. 8 Monday evenings in this place. We're inviting, we've got 5,000 invitations, but we're casting it out into Sheffield. We would love the whole of Sheffield to hear about it. And we expect hundreds in this place. There's some great films on the screens to watch about the Christian faith. Great food and great conversations. The best 8 Mondays you will ever spend in your life. I became a Christian because Trisha and I were invited by friends to go on something like that. I hated it when I first went and argued all the time. You can't imagine it of me, can you? I just argue with these people all the time. I thought they were ridiculous, but deep down inside, I knew they had something I didn't have. They had this God thing in their life. I had my ambition. I had a great job. I had a great wife. I had a great family. And I knew that they had something far more precious than I had. Thanks be to God. We found that gift of Jesus. And thirdly, we want to invite you back. Don't just come tonight if it's the first time. Come back again. It's free. Church is free. You don't have to pay yet. So just come back. Got all these great services ready for you. And again, Trish and I went many years ago to a Christmas service, and we went back and listened and listened. The simple verse tonight redefines this world's understanding of the word rich. Poverty, you see, is not a gift from God. When people are poor and people say, well, it's for you, God's blessing you, he's not. Poverty is not a gift from God. The growth of food banks is not good at all in our nation. 4.5 million people, the Children's Society say, our children will be in poverty, and maybe 5 million next year. That is not a good thing. It needs sorting out. And we need to pray for our new government, whether you are of that persuasion or not. We need good people to sort out this nation. And you will only get the government you pray for. So don't moan. Pray, pray, pray. He was not my cup of tea, but I'm going to pray every week for our leader, because our nation needs to change. We need to become a generous and kind people again. Jesus became poor deliberately to identify with those who have nothing. All those who have nothing in our nation and in our world. And to challenge the few who seemingly have everything. Jesus has shown us the supreme example, I'll tell you again, that though he was rich for our sakes, he became poor that we might be rich. And the challenge this Christmas is for all of us to follow the example of the one who went from riches to rags, from wealth to poverty. Normally at this service, it's an 8-minute or 9-minute thought. Not this year. This year, I wanted to speak to everyone here. This is the year we need to change things in our hearts. We need to stop being spectators and start contributing. And we need to, I believe, take seriously the call of God. I don't know whether you believe in God or not, but I'm going to offer you a challenge. Give God a go. You get far more return on investment than you do with a political party. Give God a go. You will get far more in your life than winning the lottery. You're only going to worry about where the money's going if you win the lottery anyway. If somebody's going to rob you, nobody can ever rob you of God's riches in your life. Thanks be to God. I want to give the last word now to hope this Christmas. The last word to Bishop Frank Houghton. What an amazing man. The first time I heard this was in a carol concert when Trisha and I were exploring the Christian faith. These words, you're going to hear the choir sing in a minute, stirred my heart, and I openly wept. I'm a Sheffield lad, born and raised on the Wyburn, and I was crying. And no, United had not won the league. That's the only other time I cried. My heart was stirred about the one who gave everything. So I'm going to pray now for us. Lord Jesus, would you help all of us this Christmas to receive you, perhaps for the first time? Perhaps we're returning back to church. Perhaps we've been away a long time, and tonight you've brought us back, or a friend has brought us, or a family member has brought us back to church. Would you this night come into our lives afresh? And may we this night, whoever we are, begin to follow your radical generosity in our lives. May we excel in the grace of giving and being kind. And may we this night and in the days to come be a blessing to everyone we meet. May it be said of each one of us, they love Christmas because they shine every day. They are kind and generous people because of God in their lives.